created things in heaven and things on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. If you continue in your faith, established and firm, not moved from the hope held out in the gospel. This is the gospel that you have heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant. This, my friends, is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. And now, O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the thoughts that are generated in our hearts together be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Is this not a beautiful day? It's all right to say amen.
Amen.
All right. I know we Presbyterians are stoic. One day in the future, history will record that on October 5, 2014, over 100 persons gathered in the chapel of a funeral home in Boise, Idaho. Those 100 persons had gathered to celebrate worship for the first time in the life of Christ Presbyterian Church, the new church development of the Evangelical Presbyterian Church. Those worshiping that Sunday were testifying that the new church community would put Christ first in all things. Get that in your mind. Christ first in all things. On a warm and beautiful Sunday afternoon in the fall of the early 50s, some 60 plus years ago, I was playing football in the side yard with some of my neighborhood friends. My father interrupted the game to call me inside the house. Upset that he had disrupted our game, I murmured my disgust and followed him into the house. "Sit down," he said. "I want you to listen to something on the radio." And I thought, I wondered what could be so important on the radio to interrupt a football game. "Father, did you see the Ole Miss score yesterday?" "God is good." You must remember that we did not have television in those ancient days. But what I heard in the next half hour was so powerful that it determined the course of my life for 60 plus years. What I heard was the powerful and persuasive voice of Billy Graham. I remember nothing from that sermon except the challenge that he gave to me to receive Christ as my Savior and acknowledge him as the Lord of my life. I remember distinctly to this day Graham's words, "Put Jesus Christ in the center of your life." And for the next six plus decades, I've tried to do that, though you will not be surprised when I tell you that I have failed miserably at that chore many times. Christ at the center, however, has been the rallying cry of my life. No matter that I failed at it countless times, the centrality of Christ in my life is my life quest. Nothing, even the love of my family, is as important to me as putting Christ first in all things. Now, who is this Jesus that we would dare to ask to be the center of our life? The New Testament says he's Soter. He is the Savior. He is the Rescuer. He is the Redeemer. He is the one who rescues us from the hell that we all deserve. Listen to the Apostle Paul. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies of God. He's talking about you, talking about me, because of your evil behavior. But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body to present you whole in his sight without blemish. Paul says we now have peace with God through his blood shed on the cross. Now I know it's not popular or culturally acceptable to talk that way today. Today, mainline churches of America do not want to offend others in other faiths. Do not want to appear to be too aggressive or in our witness or arrogant or non-inclusive. All the while, these same mainline churches are losing members by the tens of thousands. Could it be that their timidity in naming the name of Christ and testifying to the saving work of Christ on the cross be one reason why they are slowly dying away? For God's sake, let's not offend anyone. Let's not say there's no salvation outside of faith in Christ, lest someone think us arrogant or closed-minded. But let there be no mistake. What I have witnessed so far in the beginning of this church is that while Christ Church exists, we will proclaim this ultimate truth, that Jesus Christ is Savior, and we will proclaim Him Savior without hesitation. But not only is... It's all right to say amen. But not only is Christ our Savior, He is the Kurios, He is the Lord of our lives, the Master, the owner of our lives. Nothing escapes the Lordship of Jesus Christ, try as we might to hide various portions of our life from Him. Paul tells us then in no uncertain terms that Jesus is Lord. By Him all things were created. All things were created by Him and for Him. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. God was pleased in all of His fullness to dwell in Christ. Paul tells us then in no uncertain terms that Jesus is Lord. Listen to Paul's words. By Him all things were created. All things were created by Him and for Him. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. God was pleased to have all of His fullness dwell in Jesus. So all we believe, all we do, all we think or say falls under the Lordship of Christ. Our work, our families, our money, our leisure, our aspirations, our goals, our hopes, our dreams, our relationships, our very breath are all subject to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter whether or not you accept the Lordship of Christ over your life. He claims your entire life, and He exercises His authority over you day by day by day. Question number 34 of the Heidelberg Confession asks, why do you call Him our Lord? And it answers, because He has redeemed us, body and soul, from all of our sins, not with silver and gold, but with His precious blood, and has delivered us from the power of the devil and made us His own possession. In the life of this church family, we will proclaim and seek to live by this truth, that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. We want Christ to be first in this community of faith. And it's amazing to me the perception of many Christians that what they have of God. Non-believers also. So many people think of God as an old ogre, an unforgiving tyrant whose main objective is to make human life as joyless and an existence as possible. Here's how that perception translates to the average believer. If I make Christ the center of my life, if I acknowledge Him as the Lord of my life, everything I do and say and think, then I will have to give up everything that brings me pleasure. This tyrant of a God will demand that I live an austere, joyless, and stern life. In other words, many people think if I allow Christ to be the authentic center of my life, I won't have any fun in life. Life will be hard and serious and often harsh. Let me say it another way. If Christ is the center of our life, many people think and assume, then this bully of a God will take all the joy out of my life. I'll be left with a life stripped of pleasure, and I'll be literally bored to death. But nothing could be further from the truth, and most of you know that. Genuine joy can be experienced only when we open our hearts to the joyous fellowship of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The Shorter Catechism begins with this question: what is the chief end of man? And it answers, man's chief end is to glorify God and what? Enjoy Him forever. Enjoy Him forever. So it is true. If Christ is the center of our lives, we will be asked to evaluate our priorities. We will be asked to submit our daily decision-making to the Lordship of Christ. That means our parenting, our home life, our career decisions, our leisure activities, our financial choices, our spiritual health, all of our life's components will be offered up to Christ for His guidance and blessing, if we make Him the center of our lives. In all of my 7 previous parishes over 50 years, I cannot tell you the number of persons who have given their lives over to Christ and have been immensely enriched with joy and countless blessings. They have discovered the meanings of Jesus' words: if you love me, you will keep my commandments. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. They know they have been purchased by God, not with silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus paid for us, and as our Lord and Savior, He says to you, you are mine. I own you. I bought you. You are mine. I am your Lord and Savior. Rejoice. During World War II, England needed to increase its production of coal. And Prime Minister Winston Churchill called together all the labor leaders to enlist their support. And at the end of his presentation, he asked them to picture in their minds a parade, which he knew would be held in Piccadilly Circus after the war. First, he said, would come the sailors who had kept the vital sea lanes open. Then would come the soldiers who had come home from Dunkirk and had gone on to defeat Rommel in Africa. Then would come the pilots who had driven the Luftwaffe from the sky. Last of all, he said, will come a long line of sweat-stained, soot-streaked men in miners' caps. And someone would cry from the crowd, well, where were you during the critical days of our struggle? And from 10,000 throats would come the answer, we were deep in the earth with our faces to the coal. One day, when America recovers from the moral and spiritual decay that marks the life of our country today, there will be a parade of sorts. First will come the television evangelists strutting out front. Then will come the local preachers in all of their fine clergy robes. Then will come the denominational bureaucrats with all of their rule books. And finally will come people from pews, the common folk, those who made renewal possible, those who chose to live their lives under the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And someone will cry out to them, where were you during the struggle? They said, we were putting Christ first in all things. they will be those who allow Jesus to be the center of their lives. Those who are bloodied and wounded, but faithful to the last, to the name of Jesus. The question I have for you is, where will you be in that parade? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.